Yes, it is.
All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for a wonderful night tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in us, continuing to work in us, Lord, to get us ready for this great happening of the bride and the man child appearing and anointing, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for cleaning us up, sanctifying us. We all do it, and we all know that it's done by faith. And we just praise you, Father, glorify you, and thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us. Lord, don't let anything distract us. I don't care what it is. It don't need to distract us one iota. We need to keep our eyes focused on you and run after you with all of our heart, Lord. Place it in us to do that, Lord. You can do that too. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, that you place it in each and every one of us to run after you with all our heart, that nothing else matters at this time in history but to run after you. And you are the thing that we need the most in our lives right now. And I praise you, Father, for putting that in us, putting a hunger in us to read and study the Word of God also, Lord, which is part of you. And we praise you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight, directing our paths, and also, Lord, put a watch before our lips that nothing we speak tonight is not of you. That's going to always be of you. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven, that the things that we pray, Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to be answered. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request?
My mom got an email. My mom sent me an email about my great uncle Orvin and Anna Mae. he went to rehab because he had a stroke. He's 92. And he's doing somewhat better. And she also told me that one of my other great aunts, my Aunt Jean, that she was in the hospital because everything she ate was going right through her. And that was getting better. But I don't know if she's out now or not. And I'm not absolutely sure that she's saved. I think she is from what my mom said, but you know, they're in that apostate church system. So Father, I just want to pray for all my great aunts and uncles, Lord, that you just preserve and keep them, Lord, until they are ready to go with you. And I just ask you to use thank you that you are using what my uncles and aunts are going through and their health right now to draw them to you, to seek you. And Lord, I just ask you to bring them to the knowledge of the truth that salvation includes healing too, Lord, and deliverance. And I think they'd be like, demons? I got demons? Well, but Lord, I know that you're very merciful and gracious, Lord, and that you are going to make sure that they are ready to go with you when it's their time, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you. And I ask you, Lord, to heal up my Aunt Jean quickly, Lord, and get her home, Lord, and that put it all in all of their hearts to be in your word, Lord, so that they can grow in you in their last days, Lord. Help them to discover the love of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Work our faith up. Miss you. Know what's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Victoria is asking for prayer for her head because her head hurts.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right, we can do that. Everybody believe with me. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against this pain in Victoria's head. We command it by the power and the blood of Jesus to leave her now in Jesus' name and take all the symptoms with you. The spirit of infirmity, go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Victoria is healed, delivered, and set free. Now, thank God for your healing, Victoria. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to say something? Sorry?
Ew.
Hey, girl.
Woof. You better?
Nope.
But
you're getting there.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, girl. Hey, Victoria.
She's better.
Thank you.
Bless you, girl. Amen. All right, David, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you know, a while back we were praying for my eyesight to be healed, and I didn't see anything the next day, so I went ahead and put my contacts in, and I think it was Thursday. My eyes really started hurting from the contacts. And my prescription expired. I can't get any more contacts unless I make an appointment for them to tell me I have bad eyes. And I really don't want to wear contacts anymore. So I got my contacts and I threw them away. And I was believing that I would get my eyesight back and I would get flashes every now and then where I could see clearly, but it would go away in a split second. And it was encouraging and then it was discouraging at the same time. And makes me wonder if I have enough faith to believe for my eyesight to be healed. And I mean, if you guys could pray and
let me give you a little bit of a testimony of mine. It's back in 2006 or seven, somewhere along in there. I heard that testimony of David where he was healed of his eyesight too, and he went ahead and didn't wear glasses anymore. And I told the Lord right then, I said, Lord, if you can do it for him, you can do it for me, because you're not a respecter of person. And now my vision was that I couldn't see far off and I couldn't see close up to read. But there was an area that I could, you know. So I put the glasses up, and I don't know where they are to this day because I haven't needed them since then. What I would do, David, I would sit there with my Bible and I'd look at it and it'd be blurry. I said, I'm not moving until these eyes clear up in Jesus' name, because I know I'm healed. And it would clear up. And the enemy would come back periodically and try to take it away from me. And I just sat there and said, I ain't moving until this thing clears up in Jesus' name, because I know my eyes are healed. And you keep on. It's a trial of your faith. For me, it was. And finally, I don't have problems with it anymore. Every now and then, it tries to sneak up on me, but I don't allow it. I just rebuke it and go on. So if you want to stand in faith, just stand in faith, you know. But if, you know, I'm not trying to put in anybody under the law. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you my testimony, what I did with mine. So if you want to try it, we'll pray for you. Not try it, believe it. That's what I meant. In the name of Jesus right now, I command David's eyes to be normal, 20/20 vision. He can see anything and everything that he needs to see clearly and without any kind of problems. And we command it by the power and the blood of Jesus that his eyes are 20/20 vision. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for David. And I believe it, Lord. And I think everybody here believes it too. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, I've got a NIV pocket Bible over there that's probably a number. I don't know what the font is, but it's real little bitty stuff. I could read that thing. I've done it many times. And that's proof to me. Of course, that was back in 2007 or 8, I forget which, that my eyes were healed. I guess in a pair of glasses still in that top drawer of my dresser back in Arkansas. I don't know. Don't need them. Praise God, you're healed, brother. Amen. That's right, Rhea. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted prayer. Me and Morgan have our first appointment with our midwife on Friday. And anyways, the place was great. Like, she's a big Christian woman. And we talked about the Lord for a while. And she said she prays over all the babies that she delivers and all the moms during the pregnancy or during the birth. She said she continually prays. And so that was really encouraging and uplifting. And Mariana helped us find this place. So thank God for that. But anyways, so we did find out, they called us. And so I have insurance through my work, and not because I've never really chose like a higher plan. I've always just kind of went with the smallest one, you know, just whatever work makes you get, because I always know that I don't need it. You know, like David says, I have assurance in Jesus, not I don't need insurance. And anyways, this time around, I was like, well, in case I get pregnant, you know, then the next year, maybe I'll just go and get the mid plan. So that way, you know, we don't have to pay a whole bunch of money for like midwife or whatever. Well, the midwife, you know, I guess insurance is weird with midwives. You know, they, you know, I don't know. I don't know the whole situation. But anyways, long story short, if our insurance doesn't pay, then we'll have to pay a big chunk. And it's fine. The Lord has blessed us with the means. But it's just like, you know, what's the point in me having this insurance if they said it's either going to pay 80% or it's going to pay none? And so if you all could just believe and pray with me, that's the only reason why I have insurance, is just financially. So if you all just pray and believe with me that this insurance will come through, I won't know until after my first appointment, and just pay the 80%. That would be amazing, because that'd save us some money. If we could just pray and believe that, that'd be great.
Okay, Lord, we just believe it's so, just like Geneva said. We just believe that you're going to take care of this. It don't make any difference whether it's insurance or what somebody just gives it to you. And we praise you, Father, that everything is going to be taken care of in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a question, though. You talk about midwives. I've heard midwives, this thing about midwives, since I've been on the conference call. And I always wondered what happened to the first wife and the last wife. Yeah, but I wonder that, Barry.
I like it. That's one of those good corny dad jokes. That's a good one. I like it.
I just wondered. I never could figure that one out. But go ahead, Lana. Maybe she's got the answer.
Unfortunately, I don't. But that'll probably get me on the computer researching for a few minutes later tonight. I'm curious. What's the difference? I did want to share a quick update. Theo went to his grandmother's memorial service for the funeral tomorrow. So he's not on tonight. But I did want to let you know, Michael, that he did go to see Yuri last night. He was there for a long time. He went there for like 6 hours. He was prepared to play some ball with him, maybe go work out at the gym, whatever it took to talk to Yuri. And they, I guess they ended up doing a little bit of everything and a lot of talking. When he left the house, I sent out a mass kind of text message to all my sisters here on UBN to lift us up in prayer and bind up all those spirits that might hinder the conversation. And the wonderful report is that Yuri was in his right mind the entire time. He, Theo, discerned no demonic activity whatsoever in him during the entire conversation. So we are grateful and praising the Lord for that, because Theo said the last time he's talked to Yuri, and that was, I mean, when we sat down, when he sat down with Yuri face to face, there was obvious demonic activity. Yuri referred to himself in third person. His eyes were glazed over. His voice would change depending on which demon was manifesting itself in that time. So we're just asking for additional prayer, because Yuri is convinced that the Lord wants him to go to Spain because it's safer in Spain. He insists that his wife is not submitting to him by refusing to go to Spain. And he's talking divorce papers. He's talking visa. I mean, yesterday it was just talk. Today, his wife texted us and says it's serious talk, that there might be a divorce. And it's really sad that it's going to take something like Spain, which isn't even for sure yet, honestly, because he doesn't have a visa, to pull the two of them apart when she's held on this long. But I've mentioned before that she's not spirit filled. So we don't believe that she quite understands that Yuri is possessed. She just thinks he has crazy moments. So could we pray against those divorce papers, that they fail, and as well as that visa? He's texted Theo saying he wanted to do missionary work in the Dominican Republic. A week later, he wants to go to Mexico. And now the enemy's got him convinced that he has to go to Spain. Theo said they did a lot of praying last night, a lot of Bible talk. The guy knows his Bible, but unfortunately, he's back to his old lusts, and they're worse than ever, so to speak. He's more open about it. His wife doesn't know how to talk to him, doesn't know what to say to him. She's gone. She went to be with her parents right now. So I've been doing praying. If y'all could pray for this situation, that the Lord restore this marriage, restore this family, and make it a miracle, because the local churches all know about Yuri and nobody can help him. They've basically let the wife and the Yuri and the wife down. The wife has no faith in any of the local churches. And so that it would be a testimony to the entire town. It's a huge Slavic community. They would all know about it. They would all find out about it, regardless of what happens. And what also scares me is that Yuri did admit to Theo that the episode he had that started this all, when he ran from home, ran from his wife, attempted to commit suicide, was put into a mental hospital. He said that he was aware of what he was doing. He said he could have at some point stopped, but he, I guess, didn't want to. He wanted the attention, though he was clearly possessed as well. So it's really, really messed up. But we are believing that the Lord will redeem this family and bring them to a greater relationship with him than they've had previously, if they've ever even had one with him. So if y'all could pray, I'll leave it up to your discernment and let the Lord continue to use Theo in this.
The Lord, just like Lana said, this looks like an impossible situation. And I know probably that there have been curses spoken against the marriage because of it. But we come against all curses spoken against Yuri and his wife. In Jesus' name, we cast it down as null and void. Father, to your glory, Lord, because they know that no one can bring this marriage back but you. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you touch Yuri in a way that would free him from these demonic entities that have led him astray. In the name of Jesus, I bind these demons up that are talking to him about all kinds of silliness. And Father, we thank you for giving him clarity of mind, granting repentance to him, and bringing him back into the fold in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Yuri and his wife and his family. And Lord, let it be to your glory that the whole community would know that it's from you, Lord. And that there would be celebration that God is a God that answers prayer. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for your blood that covers the sins. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him and bringing him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it, Lord. I believe that you're going to do a mighty miracle here. And we're going to hear about it soon. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? Well, I believe it's done.
Well, I would like to.
All Lord, right, go ahead, Sue.
I pray for this one that he would, Lord, evidently the enemy is trying to pull the wool over his eyes, and I pray against that, and I command those demons to cease their activities over him. And Father, I just pray that you would do divine intervention into his mind and in his heart for him to see the truth, that he'd be set free. And I break the power of those demons that would try to use him against himself and against his family. And I command those demons to cease their activities. And I thank you, Father, that you have a plan for this family, and your plan is going to be fulfilled. And whatever you need to do to put him where he needs to be, in you, Lord, just do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? That's done, Lana. Go ahead, Missy.
I just cast down this this speaking about divorce. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. I cast down this spirit of faction, because that's what divorce is. It's division, separation. And I just cast this down in the mighty name of Jesus, and I forbid their spirits to continue to put in his mind about going to Spain in the name of Jesus. And I just command you to be still and silent in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for restoring him to his right mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Julie.
Praise God. In agreement with everyone else's prayers, I come against the spirits of accusation and blaming everyone else for the problems that he needs to deal with himself. Father, in Jesus' name, come against all self-righteousness and self-justification, spirits of escapism and running away from the problem. Just bind up those spirits of unforgiveness towards his wife in Jesus' name, and the accusations against her and self-will and pride, and cast all that down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, for your great grace, your love and your mercy to break through with those that hard-heartedness and the walls he has up around himself. And Lord, that only your love and your forgiveness, your grace can penetrate that, Lord. And we ask and believe in faith, Lord, you are already working repentance in his heart, that he see his sin, Lord, and he wants to be free of it. We thank you, Lord, that Yuri was seemed to be of himself, and those demons were at bay. And we thank you, Lord, that they are already on their way out. And we thank you, Father, for the salvation you have for Yuri and his family, and keeping this family together in the name of Jesus. We praise you and bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to also say a prayer for Anna, his wife. Theo and I, though they reach out to us for support or counsel, if you will, we recognize that both of them have their own faults and that the divorce is not simply coming from Yuri as well. Anna has gone to her family, and the Lord's put it on my heart that she is probably surrounded by a lot of Jezebels. And so she is more stubborn than ever right now in dealing with her husband. And she's very unsure of herself usually, and is running to, you know, friends and family for advice. I kind of get this idea that she kind of doesn't stand on her own two feet. She kind of does what she wants and how she's led by her friends and family. So Father God, I lift up Anna to you. I think it takes two to work here, Father God. And that Yuri does need the support of his wife, and she's unable to do that, Father God, because she doesn't understand what it means to be spirit-filled. She is not spirit-filled, and she does not think she needs to be spirit-filled, Father God. So I bind up these spirits of unbelief and doubt, spirits of religion, spirits of unforgiveness in her toward believers in general. Mamachka molitsa, podozhdi. Okay. Father God, I lift you up to her and ask that you send somebody her way, Father God, to be able to speak to her, to share the truth with her, to share with her, Father God, the dangers of being stubborn and allowing, Father God, her anger and unforgiveness to walk into this divorce that we already bind up in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask that you do a restoration in her, but also build up her spirit, build up her knowledge of you, and bring her into a relationship with you, Father God, so that she may be a submissive wife, that she may be somebody who can see from the outside that her husband is not quite in his place, and that she needs to show him some grace, and maybe even work out a compromise to give their life together, their marriage a chance, Father God. She's put up with all of this for a couple of years now, and now it's just, she thinks she can throw it all away, Father God. But I know it's the devil working in her mind as well, her pride, her friends, her family. So we bind up all those word curses, that witchcraft, the Jezebel spirit, Father God, and we ask for an outpouring of your grace, your repentance, Father God, into her heart, so that she can work with her husband and not against him, Father God. We thank you for doing this. We thank you for encouraging and building Anna up into her proper place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I hooked my face up with Lon, and everything she prayed is going to happen. Go ahead, Greg.
Am I coming through?
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. I'm just going to add to the prayers. But okay, Lord, I bless you. And Lord, I know that, okay, Lord, you would have these dark forces that are at play in this couple's life. Have them heed that the ecclesia are praying for this couple and this situation. Let them hear the word of the Lord where you say you hate marital separation, you hate divorce. And this talk of divorce and these threats of divorce are utter foolishness. So, Lord, let them see the prayers, let them see the forces of heaven led by our Lord Jesus Christ coming at them from afar, and let terror be upon them. And also let them be bound and gagged and held back so that both this man and this woman can have an epiphany of your word and of the Lord himself, who is the word, and the love and the care and the power that is at play. All this talk of going to various parts of the world that isn't from you, shut up. All these talk from various people about, you know, at very best it's human counsel, which is pretty much useless compared to going to you. That also be silenced. And Lord, yes, I join with my brothers and sisters here that in the community that this couple is in, there would be such a mighty work that people would be amazed, that not just them, but others would turn to you and want what you have. And yes, Lord, there are demonic forces at play. And Lord, I call for their expulsion. And Lord, yes, I also wanted, if I may, loose your spirit upon both of them. that they would know the power of the Holy Spirit working through their lives. And Lord, for the rescue of this institution of marriage between them, that it would be a testimony, not just in the immediate few weeks, but for the rest of their lives. Amen. That's me done.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. And Lord, I just ask as a special request that you place in Anna and Yuri a love for each other that they've never experienced before. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. Thank you, Father. That's gonna be an awesome testimony here in a few days. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Isaac, go ahead.
Hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry, I'm driving. Yeah, amen.
Those keep your awesome eyes prayers. On the road, brother.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. excuse me. Anyways, yeah, those were awesome prayers, and I believe you, amen. I was actually just driving by an accident right then as Greg was praying, and it looked pretty bad. Can we just pray for them real quick? And, we'll just believe that, Lord be with them and Lord not let them leave this world. And, that they'll find a way to come to him. Or if we could pray that, and, I hate to see people get in accidents.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you that everybody's going to be fine. They're coming to you in Jesus' name, Lord. Is it a bad, real bad accident, Isaac?
It looked decently bad. Maybe on a scale of like 1 to 10, I'd say like a 6. But there's a person laying on the ground, and there's a bunch of people around him. So I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I just figured since we're here.
All right. In the name of Jesus, I command that person on the ground to get up and declare his healing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that the power of God's all over him right now. In Jesus' name, rise up there, son, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen. Let there be a revival right there on the road. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Rion. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Petra. Hadn't seen you in a while, girl. Glad you could join us. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to pray about, or a testimony, or a praise report, or a song?
Michael?
You got a song, Judy?
I got a great testimony.
All right. Let's go for it, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter had to go to trial or court date today. We didn't know about it till really yesterday for sure. So she's been really, upset and everything. But she got a DUI, and she's gotten several of them. So, they've been putting this off. So she went to court today, and I was praying, and I asked the Lord, to do what he, the best, that he knew the best, because he knows the future. So I was trying to prepare myself for the worst, because they wanted to give her 2 to 2.5 years in a county jail. So I was really surprised, but I guess it went really fast. But they've decided to let her stay at the halfway house where she's at. It's a Christian halfway house. So the lady's really trying to help her and work with her. And they're letting her stay there till January the 4th. So it's another 6 months. And long as she does good, then they're going to have another trial or court date. And they're going to decide what to do then. But it sounds, if she does good and she just really works hard getting closer to the Lord and asks for repentance and stuff. Just, it was so awesome. I just, I guess I just, wasn't sure what was going to go on. And I just thanked the Lord. Oh, man, was I praising him and thanking him. Oh, Lord, he just is so awesome to do that for her. He's given her a second chance, Lord. And that's what I told her, you know, take advantage of this. Come, you know, talk to the Lord and thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, I've been praying that you get excited sometimes, Judy.
Okay.
You're excited. No, I'm just kidding you, girl. I knew you'd be excited about this. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for doing a work in Angie, doing a complete work. We bind up that spirit of alcoholism off of her right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is going to take its place in Jesus' name. Not only that, it's going to fill her up, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody. I didn't really say too much about it on this conference call, but all the people prayed for me, and that was just and prayed for Angie. I mean, that was so awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
I guess I'd like to share a testimony.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Debbie.
I think I've shared a fellowship for here, but I think maybe you everyone has noticed from the blog that really God did a real miracle for Jonah when he went to the hospital last week. They sent him back with nothing wrong. So it was just tremendous, a real testimony. So God did a real miracle there. He was throwing up before they left the house and hollering in pain. And she had thought that maybe when he fell, a tube came loose in his stomach. He'd been complaining of stomach pain during the week. And so maybe that was getting loose. And then he started throwing up really bad. And that's not a good sign when it comes to this shunt and the tubing in his stomach. But we really prayed that God would just, and everyone prayed, I really appreciate everyone's prayers and Victory is so thankful that God just, she says he just did a switcheroo in Jonah. He totally stopped throwing up in the car. I was concerned because she was driving by herself all alone and him carrying on like that, having to throw up and stuff. So, but Lord touched him, and when he got to the hospital, he was still okay. And they did a CAT scan and said, well, everything's good, nothing's wrong. And so they just sent him home with, you know, constipation medicine. But we kind of know that wasn't the problem either. I know that wasn't the problem, because I'd share it too for prayer, because he'd been, you know, going in his pants, making it really hard that week for Victory. Because he gets lazy, and so that wasn't the problem, but they said it was. So God did a miracle. Thank you all for praying. Then another miracle I want to pray for is thank God for was Victory. I prayed for her 2 days before, the day before she went to the hospital with him. So the day after, I was talking to her, and she said we were just messaging. I was in a grocery store. That Jonah had gone to the mailbox, and 2 hours before that all happened, and she'd got a child support check for $1,000, not from the dads, but from whatever it is she filled out. I imagine it's some kind of something they just have. They do that, and she got this $1,000, and so I was so excited, and I was really a kind of had a grumpy bad day that day anyway, and it just really perked me up. And I told her, I said, you don't know what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for giving me this report, Victory. And I told her how the day before I went to the hospital, I had prayed, I was praying for her about this whole the court deal that she's involved with. It's got to end also. But I prayed that God, when this happens, when you end this, I ask that you would just cause them to feel for her and see the hardship they've put her through for 3 years, and pay her for hardship pay or something, whatever you want to call it, and that they pay her $1,000. And then I said, I know you can do exceedingly abundantly, but I'm going to ask you for $1,000 from them, from this court system, for Victory, whenever you want to give it. So it's just amazing to me that when I talked to her the next day, she had said that she got $1,000. And I said, well, and I told the Lord too that he could do exceeding abundantly. And she said, but Mom, he did do more. It wasn't $1,000, it was $1,159. So, but it's just amazing to me how God works things out ahead of time. He knew way long ago I'd be praying that for her, for that money. And it just all met up right then. So she was just so happy and rejoicing because she needed it, and God is so good. So thank you, Lord, for answered prayer and many miracles for your children. I think that's
yes, Lord. A wonderful testimony. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name. That's kind of like that time David pointed at the mailbox and there's going to be $50 in that mailbox. Walked out there and $50 in it.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you, Debbie.
Welcome.
All right, anybody else? Well, tonight I wanted to read a word that the Lord gave Debbie last night. I believe it was last night. What's today? Yeah, it was last night. It's called Get Rid of the Spirit of Rejection. Today is the day of salvation. This is the Lord. There are many of you here nursing a spirit of rejection. Yes, it exists among you, from the least to the oldest. You must stop it. This is not a malady. This is not something you treat with pills and potions or worldly counseling or even godly counseling. And it is not to spiritually humble you, but it breaks you down. It has been a demonic stronghold in your life. It has kept you from the freedom of my spirit. It has kept you withdrawn into yourself. I have not planned for you to be that way, but I desire you to be free. I bought that freedom for you. This is something you must repent of, and you must cast it down and lay it upon me on the cross. I bore that rejection. It was nailed to the cross with me. Don't you believe that I truly bore rejection so that you don't have to? I did. So repent and cast it down and stomp it under your feet. I want you to be free to the fullest. Oh, so few of my people know that freedom. They say they do, but they do not. Rejection is in the way. And your deliverance is now. It is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your freedom from the spirit of rejection. Be free so you can come away with me, my beloved. Come. And after receiving this word that is said yesterday morning, I asked Father to give me a confirmation regarding me giving this word at this time. He gave me two confirmations. The first one, I was listening to a word from the Lord that Kathleen sent, given to somebody else and read by somebody else, called Things Are Not As They Appear. And Lisa, reading all these words, said, please read Jeremiah 26. And as I continued to listen to the word, I heard the Lord's still small voice say to me, read it. And so I did. And right then heard the Lord's still small voice say to me, read it. So I did right then. It was the end of verse 2 of Jeremiah 26, where the Lord said, I have commanded you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. The second confirmation came when I went over to see Matt and Sue about 11:30 yesterday. And she handed me a paper from a sister in the Lord from our old fellowship days in Illinois, whom God has greatly blessed with the gift of giving personal words to the brethren. They received in the mail 4 weeks ago another personal word from the Lord for themselves, and then was also one for me. I received it yesterday. And this word from 4 weeks ago was the second confirmation for me. And the Lord exhorted me, if you stop and listen, you will always have words for me. My sheep know my voice, and you're one of my sheep. But even my little sheep must come to a halt and be still to hear what the Master Shepherd has to speak to them. This too is for all of us, but the Lord confirmed to me to hear and give out what the Master Shepherd had to speak to his people. Amen. Rejection. I didn't realize how prevalent it was until I came to UVU. It is probably the most prevalent spirit in God's people that we have. And that's the one spirit that takes people out in faction, is that spirit of rejection. That spirit of rejection, actually, I've done a little bit of research today on it. It's all throughout the Bible. Adam had it. Cain had it. They were both rejected. Esau had it. You know, you can go on and on and on about who had it. And God rejected the ones that didn't come out of it. He rejected them. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, is that spirit of rejection. And the Lord says today is the day of salvation. And if you believe, God will take it from you. This day, this night, he'll take it from you. Can anybody give me a good definition of spirit of rejection? Well, I certainly appreciate it. All right, some of y'all, I know you know what it means. Go ahead, Julie.
The spirit of rejection is always putting thoughts in your mind about yourself and others, about being accepted or not, that they always think people are talking about you, or it makes you feel like you're not accepted or not good enough. It can be associated even with like getting your feelings hurt real easily, not being able to, when someone tries to help you with something and show you something that, you know, could maybe help you, they get offended and will take it as, you know, a criticism or something, in place of like, oh no, I'm just trying to help you see it. You know, it doesn't matter how gentle you are. They're not able to receive a correction, because they make it, it feels more like rejection when somebody is trying to help you. It's an oppressive spirit. It makes you look inwardly at yourself and all your failures, all your faults, all of your shortcomings. It'll bring up past, you know, circumstances in your life where, you know, everybody rejected you, you know, everybody rejected you because you didn't quite fit. You weren't popular enough or pretty enough, or you weren't the best athlete, or whatever. There's all kinds of things. And, it can be anything. It can come in my own personal life. I believe it came in, it could have come in the womb, but I know that there were some things that happened when I was a baby that, caused rejection in my life. And I know it's also inherited. I believe both my parents had rejection so it's something that's can be passed on through the blood. And it can be coming in through the womb, like saying, you know, you're hoping for, you know, a specific, you know, baby sex, whether you really want a girl, but you got a boy. And then you can, that infant in the womb can even get rejection because this is what mom and dad wanted, you know. And the devil just needs a door. It's a door opener for a lot of other things. And anyhow, that is my own personal experience with it. Everything I just said, I've gone through it, And God's delivered me from rejection more than once, you know, because it wants to come back. And it's really something you have to fight against. And, you know, even the most innocent thing is like, you know, things just didn't work out between, you know, people, you know, people come and go in your life. But that enemy will get you to look at yourself and you blame yourself. And then there's self-rejection that's in there too. And then there's rejection of others, you know, and you can't get close to anybody. You can't even get close to God like he wants you to, because you feel rejected even by God. The devil lies about everything to you to keep you from getting free from it. That was something you really have to be on guard of and really come to know who God says that you are. That is your ammo. That is your weapon, you know, to believe everything that God says about you, everything. Because he spoke the end from the beginning. He sees us perfect. He sees us as Christ is, and he doesn't see our old self. He doesn't see what we were, and we can't see ourselves that way either. We have to see ourselves as Jesus says that we are, and what he paid for and what he gave us when he died for us and took away that nature of rejection and all of its buddies, all of its inherited curse, you know, and the things that come in with it. And that's what I've got, Michael.
Well, that is very good. Thank you so much for explaining that. All right, anyone else got some experience with that and would like to share? Don't let that spirit of rejection keep you from sharing that. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
That's an awesome prophecy. That's it's so true, man. And it, you know, it's so close to home, especially with what I'm dealing with on this project right now. And what an awesome topic. I tell you something the Lord showed me. Now I'm sure there's a lot more to it than this, but this is what he showed me, so I'll let you know. So when Jesus died on the cross, we know he bore a lot of things. Now, he said, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And what I realized, because I dealt with that too, because that is a, when I say I dealt with that, I don't have it, you know, thank you, Jesus. But my mom has a bad spirit of rejection on her. And that is also off her in Jesus' name. But what God was showing me about that was he even bore being forsaken. So if you're rejected, you know, you may feel forsaken, you know, maybe throw that in there. I really do think it fits. But he bore that rejection too, man. His sacrifice was enough. And I tell this to myself, his sacrifice was enough. You know, think about it. Now, this is a very hard thing to say, but if you give your child for everyone else and somebody said it wasn't good enough, how would that make you feel? Well, we're talking the firstborn of all creation. We're talking Jesus. His sacrifice was enough. And so he bore that on the cross. And that's what it reminds me of when I hear that. And I thought, Lord, put in my heart, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And I'm sure there's a lot more to it that the Lord is going to show me. But, yeah, he bore rejection. He bore being feelings of being forsaken. He bore that. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Yes, that's good. You know, I have seen, after I found out what it was, I have seen rejection hinder a person almost immobile. I have seen that. They don't want to interact with anybody. They're very introverted. And almost to the point that they can't even function. I've seen that. But I've also seen it it's such a hindrance to the people's lives, just like these people that we talked about earlier, this Shirley and to honor. That's a spirit of rejection that's keeping them apart. Also a spirit of faction, but spirit of rejection is they don't want to admit that they're wrong. They can't admit that they're wrong. That's a spirit of the fear of rejection also in play. It's always goes with that spirit of rejection is a spirit of the fear of rejection as well. Okay, anybody else? Well, I can tell you what we did last night. We bound up that spirit of rejection in the fellowship. And if y'all want to do that tonight, we can. And God will set some people free. Now, I know that there's some people in here that have the spirit of rejection, if not most of them. And so I'm asking you, do you want to be free? And if you want to be free, raise your hands, because God's fixing to take it from you. He said he would. And if he said he would, he's going to do it. Amen. All right, let's pray. And then y'all could pray after me, with me, or during or after. In the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. Let's see. I think we need to just raise our hand to be set free. All right. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this direct command that you've given us. We don't have to put up with this spirit of rejection. And you have set us free by your act at the cross. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of rejection to go out of everyone that wants it gone. In Jesus' name, you go right now in Jesus' name and take all your little buddies with you. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of the fear of rejection to leave everybody in this fellowship and those listening in the name of Jesus, and take all your little buddies with you too in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask and I pray that you place it in each and every one of us to get in the word and to fill up that empty space where that spirit's gone out with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus right now, everyone that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit in that area, raise your arms, because God's fixing to fill you up. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask and we pray that you fill us all up, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. So much so, Lord, that there's no room for rejection or the fear of rejection and all their little buddies anymore. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father, for your cleansing power right now in everybody's heart. We praise you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us that wants it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. All right, anybody else want to pray? It's the time to do it. We renounce that spirit of rejection out of our lives in the name of Jesus. We renounce that fear of rejection out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, that we're free. We're free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Missy.
Father, I ask you to greatly impress and give such a revelation to everybody how much you love them. You chose them to be in you before the foundation of the world. You predestined them, Lord, you chose them. And that everything that Jesus is what you have given to them. And you do not reject them, Father. You discipline us because you love us. And we just rebuke that spirit. And Lord, we just ask you to make everybody sensitive to that they discern it right away, that attack, Lord, of the enemy, that they keep the doors closed And do not allow the enemy to come in with condemnation, because one of the books to jump alongside that is condemnation. Rejection and condemnation go right together. And Lord, we just ask you to give us all such strong discernment of these spirits, and to recognize it very easily, Lord, and take our sword and cast it down and confess your word upon ourselves and for and others, Lord, and to believe it, Lord, and know, Lord, that, you know, the things that we go through aren't always because we're in sin or that we're such bad people or whatever, that it's because you love us, Lord. You tailor make every trial and every situation to crucify our old man. Our old man is dead, but we need to manifest you, Lord. And the more we allow our old man to be crucified, the more we gain of you and the more we grow in you, Lord. And that's the goal. And just to thank you and praise you for everything that we go through, Lord. Just remind us of that and to be thankful for it, Lord. Because you love us, you know us. You gave us Psalm 139 that shows us how much you know, how well you know us. You go before us, you go behind us, you know, you see our sitting down and our rising up. You have written all the our days in your book, Lord. All our days are written in your book, Lord. And you orchestrate everything. You work all things after the counsel of your own will and for our good, Lord, to those who love you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for loving us first, Lord. Because you loved us first, we love you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we just ask you to increase our faith through imagination exponentially, Lord, and to imagine everything that we pray, Lord. And we imagine ourselves in the mirror, looking at you in the mirror, Lord. I see you in the mirror, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else? Yes, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
Michael, I did give my testimony a couple of weeks ago on the fellowship of not love and me being alone. I did agree with you about prayer for my for rejection, but I just want to make sure I like to be with myself, not always, but most times I like to be with myself. Could that be a manifestation of being rejected?
It could be. Not necessarily, but it could be. Most times, most people that have that spirit of rejection want to be by themselves. They don't want to be disturbed by anybody. If they've got that bad spirit of rejection, Joe, they just kind of go inside themselves and just hide inside themselves, you know. They don't want to talk to anybody. Don't want to associate with anybody. They just want to be alone. Most of these homeless people out there, they have a bad spirit of rejection. A lot of them do. But you've been delivered of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Lord of God. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right, Greg. Is that all, Joe?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, buddy.
I was just gonna add to what Joe was saying there. I guess with some of my experience, I actually do enjoy my own company. I'm a nice person, but I know hindsight now that spirit has had a reign in my life. Matter of fact, it even had an anthem. If you remember the old Simon and Garfunkel song, I'm a rock, I'm an island. This spirit comes across as our friend, you know, it's like as our only friend, but come away and be with me. And, you know, you I don't know, recognize your own achievements or your own things or the things that we build up to make ourselves, to declare our own worth. But we're not rocks. We're not islands. You know, the song went, you know, I touch no one and no one touches me. And oh my goodness, you know, getting that out of my system has been, you know, once I recognize it, it's like, oh, this has got to go. It's anyway, I could speak a little bit about the spirit of rejection, and you know, I know it's to do with Azazel being cast out there, but we are not rejected. We are, you know, we're the apple of his eye, we're accepted in the beloved. We all know he's done so much, but yeah, this spirit of rejection, it's dastardly. And yeah, look, thank you for bringing that up, by the way, Michael and Deb as well, with the that word. Yeah, the darn thing can go on a hike, because we're the body of Christ, not some little amputation sitting off in a corner somewhere.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Yes, Pat, go ahead, Ben.
I was, when you mentioned that rejection, and the first thing that I thought of was a spirit of heaviness. Because even today I felt that when I should have been really bounding in the Lord, and I felt this just a heaviness, a spirit of heaviness, almost depression. When you mentioned, when Greg mentioned that about homeless people, it dawned on me a while back that there, of course, the world's suggestion or solution for the homeless people, of course, is to buy them a home, when their problem is not homelessness, it's hopelessness in this spirit of rejection, and that heaviness keeps you bound in a place of no solutions and hopelessness, I guess, obviously opposite of faith. But I was in that scripture that speaks of heaviness last week. It's when you brought this up, and it reminded me of it, because it's talking about the Lord when he started his ministry. And, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And all that is speaking of acceptance and God's benevolence, his grace in our lives, and the day of vengeance of our God. Interesting that he says the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And I just saw that as we were talking about this, God commanding us to cast off this spirit of rejection, because God wants to apply his vengeance to that spirit of rejection, and to comfort all that mourn. And I guess this was the thing that was hitting me about reading this is to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And it kind of hit me that the Lord is going to appoint. Well, now what that means, I'm not sure. Apply, fulfill, command, put forth something upon those that mourn in Zion. And I to give unto them those that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes. And I think that life of mourning, or maybe that life of that sense of rejection or heaviness or whatever, does not create an environment for positive faith. It brings forth, it is an environment of destruction or deterioration. And God's going to, by his vengeance, take down this spirit of rejection and replace that mourning with the oil of joy and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that was what I think of this sense of rejection or constant feeling of not being worthy or not living up to whatever standard that you may imagine in your mind. Not being able to live up to that or to be able to live is always a sense of personal rejection, maybe self-rejection. But God has the answer of giving us that garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So I was, I never connected it, quite frankly, when I was reading this before, I never connected it to rejection. But it seems to fit. It just seems to fit. I've dealt with that probably all my life. So I received that prayer. I cast off this spirit of rejection. I cast off this spirit of heaviness, not only in myself, but I cast it off in my brothers and sisters. I bind that spirit of rejection and cast it down, for we have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. And I thank you, Father, that you paid that for us. And in so doing, we became the value that you placed upon us. And you placed upon us the value of the life of your own Son. And so, Father, we thank you. We lift up our heart and we praise you and we thank you for the garment of praise. We thank you for the oil of joy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you are filling us up to do your work, to accomplish your purposes, set free from rejection, set free from sin, set free from everything death has to lay upon us. And we willingly receive you to walk in your resurrected life. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for doing that within us that we can't do ourselves. And I praise you. I praise you. And I thank you for setting us free to do your will and to do your walk that you have given us, to walk in your life. And we thank you for it. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that rejection spirit is a nasty spirit. It's probably taking more people out of the kingdom than any other one. And Missy's right. Condemnation goes along with it. Fear goes along with it. Lots of nasty things attach itself to it. Yes, Missy.
Unforgiveness is a major one too.
Yep. It sure is. And we're going to address.
They go hand in hand, and they might be pretty equal to what you said, taking people out of the kingdom, because probably actually, I don't know, and like we all know, you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. So
well, that kind of leads into what I wanted to say next, the little word that David gave us today, and that is this: saints. Well, praise God, he considers all of us saints. This is David. God is not tolerating unforgiveness in any form, anger, criticism, slander, hatred, impatience, and you can go on and on and on with the list. All of these are dangerous to you. Then you are dangerous to your family, to your friends, other Christians. Faction is happening. We are fighting fires, and we are. Please put them out, as in my vision dream that he had the other night. To be separated at this time is a present and eternal judgment for the faction and all they have leavened. The bride will escape now in tribulation judgments and have an eternal reward. And he says, he goes on down at the bottom, he says, listen to last Wednesday broadcast and this coming Wednesday's. God is love, and so is the bride. Please do spiritual warfare for the brethren. And like Missy was talking about, unforgiveness goes along with that rejection. And here's the deal about it that we've seen over the years. It not only takes them out, it takes the whole family out. It takes out the wife or the husband and the children if they don't deal with it immediately. And so that's why it's critical, and it's an urgent request of the Lord to deal with this rejection spirit now. Are you talking to me, Missy? Are you signaling to me? Well, quit signaling, for goodness sake. I even got my train of thought all off of what I was. Man, it was good, too. But anyway, that's something that you cannot allow in your household at all. It's the spirit of rejection, unforgiveness, any of that. That unforgiveness will take you out that quick. The Lord's not going to put up with it. Yes, Julie, go ahead.
I know we just did some deliverance here as a group, And it was good. And I believe and pray that everyone received that. But I also know that people listen to this broadcast later. And I would just encourage anybody, if you need help getting free of that, to please reach out to somebody in the ministry to help you get free and get to the root cause of it. Because if you don't deal with the root cause of the rejection, it will keep coming back. And it wants to take you out and anybody you love and care about as well. So I would just add that.
Amen. Amen. We've seen it take out whole families. We've seen it take, if it's the husband, the wife and the kids go along with it. If it's the wife, the husband and the kids go along with it. And they're all gone. So that's why the Lord is impressing us to get this message out and for everybody to repent of rejection, like the Lord said through Daniel. He says, it has been a demonic stronghold in your life. It has kept you from the freedom of my spirit. And that's so true. It has. They'll draw back away from God's people. And they don't want to associate with them anymore. Because it's the fear of coming, you know, correction. They don't like correction at all. None at all. They run from it. They might take it a couple of times, but then after a while, they just go away. They can't handle it because they haven't dealt with that spirit of rejection or unforgiveness or whatever it is that's hindered. And the Lord is saying, don't you believe that I truly bore rejection so that you don't have to? Amen. The Lord bore it. We don't have to bear it. We don't have to bear anything but Jesus Christ and the freedom that he gives us. Glory to God, and it is. It's a lot of freedom. I'm telling you. Makes me want to get up and dance. Amen. And he said, today is the day of salvation. Deal with it. Amen. That's why we love the Lord, is because he wants us free. He wants us to break those chains. What's the name of that song? Break the chains. Tasha Cobb sings it.
Anyway. Break every chain. Break every
chain. Yeah, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add or would like to ask any questions or anything like that? Any prayer? Go ahead, Andrew. Oh, Pat, I'm sorry.
I do look kind of like Andrew, don't I?
Well, no.
I'm stuck back on that self-rejection. Not that I'm stuck on it, but I'm thinking that over as when this spirit comes upon you, chances are it has a foothold there somewhere in our thinking, in our believing. So what is that foothold? What would I be believing incorrectly, or what lie would I be believing if I was rejecting myself having been forgiven by God? Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Is there a foothold there? Am I not really believing I have been forgiven? Am I not really believing that God forgave me? I mean, what is the stronghold I know that there's demons will come back and simply try to influence and take back the ground. But that's why the Lord says, keep it, keep my word, because that devil's going to try to take it from you. So what is that ground specifically in that area of, say, self-rejection or unforgiveness of oneself? So I'll just throw that question out.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'm sorry, Eve and I were talking and she brought up something very, very valid point. And I could totally relate to it because I was really thinking about it this today, and the Lord was really impressing upon me. Really the root of all sin is pride, because Satan, that's what took Satan down, was pride. And I think, because, you know, it's like God, he's the potter, we're the clay. Who are you to say, why did you make me the what I am? You know, Missy's paraphrase. God made, he made vessels of honor, he made vessels of dishonor. And I praise God, and I believe that every one of us in this room have been made vessels of honor. And we are nobody. Except the only thing that we are who we are by the grace of God, and everything that the Lord's done in our life, even from the time we were conceived to now, has brought us to the point. Everything God has worked after the counsel of his own will, he's made everything for the purpose of bringing us into his image. And God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, you know. So
you have to repent of pride before rejection is going to go anywhere.
So
was that an angel back there talking?
Did you hear what she said?
Not really, but I heard her.
She said you got to repent of pride before you can get rid of rejection, I think basically is just what she said.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's like, that's just the root of, anyway.
Pride is the strong man.
Pride is the strong man, Eve said.
That's the demon that all the other ones are rooted in. And it's pride that keeps people in fear of rejection because they don't want their pride to be hurt. So you got to get rid of the pride before the rejection goes.
She said you got to get rid of the pride before the rejection goes. Because pride keeps, you know, I forget how she said it, but anyway.
Okay.
Pride doesn't want to be rejected.
No, you know. It doesn't. Valid point. Let's see what Andrew had to say. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just wondering if, it one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are you when they persecute you for my name's sake. And of course, it goes on and says a lot more about it. That point should be like, if you're being persecuted for being in Christ, that's a different type of rejection, isn't it? You know, I could see maybe sometimes, you know, rejection will use that verse to say, oh, I'm such a good boy, you know, that I'm a good old person. And he uses that verse to trap you into rejection. You know, he's using reverse psychology on you with that verse. And it really isn't working for you, that verse, you know. That verse wasn't why you were persecuted, you know. It could have been something else that, and he might try to get you that way to make you think that, well, I'm better than they were. You might get rejected that way. So I was just thinking if that might be a way in for this spirit to come into a person, that he might actually try to use the word of God to trick you into thinking you're rejected or have a real spirit of rejection. Because he's a tricky guy, you know. The darkness has a real trickster to him. And but I know it's a spirit that would jump on you if you had a divorce, and along with several other spirits, and you have to put up with, you have to take them down. You have to do the warfare. You have to come out of it. Because when I came to UBM, I just came out of a divorce, and I was in a whole bunch of different denominations trying to find the people who were God's people, and most of them were making the same mistake. And during a divorce, you can pick up a lot of stuff, and the Lord has to bring you through that. And I believe he actually, that was the reason why he brought me to UPM, was to get some good counsel and how to overcome things. And of course, you know, when you first come, you listen on Wednesdays and on Sundays and to the Bible studies, and they teach you there. And it's a process of being liberated from all these things that jump on a person. And it wasn't really till you got to have some fellowship that it even helps more, you know, to get rid of rejection. And anyways, that's a spirit that does give you condemnation, and it'll bring up anger and unforgiveness, but the Lord's on your side. He'll really will humble you. And through this humility and thanksgiving for everything that you went through in your life, I believe that he brings you out of this rejection so that you can actually even pray for the people that are, for me, like my ex-wife, know, I would still want her to be saved and not pick up any of these spirits. So when you pray for these people, that's a lovely showing that you want even to your to the people who hurt you so much that that they would be forgiven, and that you would want them forgiven and want them to enter into the kingdom also. Even the new husband she has, you would even pray for him and to enter the kingdom. And you know your prayer has meaning to it. You really want it even for him. And so you the Lord humbles you. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while for this to work through the person. And you shouldn't confuse rejection also with loneliness, because loneliness does come upon people. But you overcome that too, because you're with the brethren, you're with other family members, and you just overcome it through interaction with other people. And even though these people might not be saved, you know, like you said, the person who's on the street there, or even not even a street person, someone who's a neighbor, and you see him out there, if you live in a building or something, and you see him out there sitting all alone, and he looks like he's got no one to talk to, you know, it'd be a real good idea just to go and talk to the person for a couple of minutes and say hi to him and say, hey, I remember I saw you over there on the bus or something, you know. Some people have a lot of rejection and other things on them at the same time that would add to that. It's just sometimes you don't feel you have the time to say hi to someone. You see their face, they've seen your face too. So just the small things like this, even the Lord can use, you know. I remember talking to a guy, I never seen his face before. I just said hi to him, and there was a bit of a conversation, and we talked a bit about the COVID, and I said, I don't know if you're a God-fearing man, but this thing is all over the world. Don't you think God's in it? And, you know, that's about as far as you can get with the worldly. But, you know, you can tell that some of these people just don't have anyone to talk to. And if you do see a person on the street there and he's begging for money, you know, sometimes you can have a couple of sentences and words to say to him at the same time. And it'll probably make his whole day. Anyway, praise God. So I was just kind of wondering if, not to confuse when you're being rejected because you're a Christian, it's different from the rejection spirit. And I'm not saying this, that this is to take away your idea of what rejection might be. Because if you have rejection, then definitely we've prayed and it's gone. The Lord can handle it, you know. Because he's almighty. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Andrew.
I kind of wanted to address what Pat was talking about, something. They're about the feelings or whatever, and why it keeps coming back or whatever. And if it's sin and that kind of thing, if you've already been forgiven for your sins, because I struggled with that too, because I couldn't understand why I was still battling with this thing, you know? And I, you know, there was, the enemy just wants to confuse us and accuse us, everything. So in my walk, for my own personal experience with that, you know, I would battle with that too, about, well, aren't I forgiven? How come, you know, if I'm forgiven, and then why am I still going through this? And the Lord just had to teach me so much, because I really didn't know anything. And along with what Missy and Eve were saying about the pride thing, you know, pride is, you know, that rebellion against God, because you think you know everything. So, you know, he was humbling me through a lot of stuff, and you know, I had some knowledge after listening to the Bible studies over and over and for, you know, for a long time and stuff. But then God put me out there and said, okay, what are you going to do? I didn't know how to use the word of God to defend myself. So the Lord had to teach me, and, you know, he just kind of threw me in there and, okay, learn how to use your sword, Julie. And I failed a lot, you know, but I would just keep coming back to this, like, you know, well, are my sins forgiven? Yes, I've confessed everything. So, but the Lord had to teach me how to fight. I didn't know how to fight in the kingdom of heaven. And I didn't know how to use the word of God, even though I was feeling all this stuff, oppression. And it's like, you know, the Lord said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I had to learn how to use the word of God. I had to learn how to use the armor of God. And I wasn't very good at it, but we all start off like little kids, you know, and learning how to do things. But in the same time, God was doing a humbling work in me and realizing I can't do anything unless God gives me the help to do it. So it, for me, it was all a huge learning thing, and making sure my heart was right. So why am I still going through this? Why am I still feeling this way? You know, is there somebody else? You know, have I got some unforgiveness towards somebody else? Where is this coming from? Is it, you know, does the devil have a foothold here? Like you were asking, it's like, you got to get, you know, for yourself, anybody, you got to get before the Lord and just say, Lord, if there's something I'm not in right standing with, if you, you know, please show me. And if this is just, you know, warfare, then make me to, you know, be strong in you, because I can't do this by myself. And help me swing this sword, and help me use your armor. And, you know, it was learning to fight in a kingdom you don't see, and you don't know that he plays dirty. He'll confuse you. He'll lie to you. He'll accuse you. He'll accuse everybody else. And it's learning to discern thoughts and imaginations that the enemy's throwing in there, and learning not to accept those thoughts and those feelings. And when you start, one of the things David had taught in one of the teachings somewhere was about, you know, the sin will start with a thought, and then it'll if you don't cast it down, it'll develop into emotions. And if you don't deal with it, then there's an action or a reaction to something, and then you're in trouble. So it's learning that kind of thing, you know. And I had to learn lessons over and over and over and over, and go through a lot of things more than one time, because I kept going around the mountain, you know, trying to get up, but I kept going around circles because I was dealing with a lot of the same things. And a lot of it was just confusion and listening to the wrong voice. And it's like, wait a minute, I am not in sin. I'm not in willful sin. So condemnation has nothing here. I am not in sin. Nothing's, you know, coming to my mind that I've done or said or anything I really need to repent of. So Lord, help me fight, help me discern this stuff, because, you know, it was painful, and it was wearing me out. And I was always second guessing myself. Anyhow, I hope maybe that helps you, but that was my experience on how, you know, learning the tactics of our enemy and how he works against us. And so if it's sin, God's going to show you, you'll know it if it's sin. And if it's not, then you need to just get, you know, deal with it. Go pick up your sword and do warfare against it. And it has no legal right. And tell him he's defeated and get out of my house. This is my promised land. And then having done all, you stand. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey. Yeah, that was awesome work. Thank you. It's pretty on point. I was just going to say again, I'm sorry to be on here so much, but when Missy and I'm not sure who it was else was talking, that pride is, it's true. I really feel it 100%. That makes sense. Because I'm really seeing it at this project I'm at. And I won't go on about the project because that's really little importance. But there's a lot of politics right now where I'm at. And, you know, it's not so much level of skill. It really bothers me. And I've been dealing with this so much. And it's not typically like me, but I've been dealing with this. Like, okay, well, I'm not one of the good old boys. You know, why is this happening? And it is pride. Because it's like, hey, Isaac, you know what you can do. You should be doing this. What's going on? And, you know, we prayed before, Michael, that I accept this and I go with this because this is what needs to happen. This needs to happen in my life. I need to submit. I need not to be seen as that guy that, you know, it's not capable of Isaac no more. That's got to go. And so it's been a struggle, but I tell you, this prayer we prayed tonight and y'all prayed is so amazing. And I believe it with my whole heart. And I want to say this, that this is, I'm not going to put a law on anybody or whatever you do, you know, you just do it freely, you know, but Lord, thank you for reminding me. I'm going to write it down that I have received this because I, you know, sometimes it's good for me to know these prayers that I've received that we've prayed as a brethren. And whether it's your memory or whatever it is, just keep on hanging on, man. That's what I'm going to do. And this is so imperative because I've been feeling a change here lately. Man, I don't know what it's been though, Michael. And it's been like these last 2 or 3 weeks, God's doing something. I've been feeling it in my heart. Like, man, like there is something, like you said, there's a separation or something. I've been feeling it. And this was so amazing that even before you guys were reading Ephesians chapter 4, the week before that, I just kind of opened my Bible to it. And I felt like the Lord just kept on having me read it. So this day I would read it, the next day I'd read it. And I was like, man, I really kind of need to understand this. And it was just an amazing thing. And what a confirmation. So just hang on to this prayer today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on saying that his sacrifice was enough for me. Because his sacrifice was enough. There's what more could you give? He gave his only begotten son. What more could you give? No possession's worth that. You know, think about it in your own regards. His sacrifice is enough. Now, I just want to say, you know, I have been relieved of this, and it's gone in Jesus' name. And I'm really excited and thankful. What an appropriate topic. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. That was good. Go ahead, Greg.
Look, I was just going to add to what Julie said, and I'll keep it brief because I was a little concerned, Pat, when you were asking the question, that it was, you know, personal. And look, this was just my two cents worth on that. As I say, Julie covered it in probably more detail than I will. But, what I heard you ask was, you know, how do we identify or how do we get to the foothold that was established, if you like? And I tend to think that it's probably, and I know this is my experience, it's not just one thing. It's probably a whole web of little lies and little words and half-truths, etc., that's established the whole thing. And look, if the Lord brings something up, then obviously, you know, we renounce it. We, you know, put it away and, you know, ask him to break the vows as per Numbers 30, etc. But, you know, personally, I would say, look, just deal with every thought that comes, whether it's even your own voice. And quite often I find it is my own voice in my head. Compare it with the truth. And if it doesn't match up, then it's got to be cast down. Like, you know, as it says, to take every thought captive. End of talk. Julie expressed it a whole lot more, you know, in more detail than I need to hear. So I'll shut up now.
All right. Thank you, Greg. That was good too. Go ahead, Sue. Go ahead, Sue. Or Judy.
Okay. Sorry. I had dealt with rejection for years, ever since I was in my mother's womb. So it became like a big bad tree. And so the Lord had to deliver me in a process. It took time, but it's in my family. And I have my granddaughter here with me, and we're dealing with this as well. And one thing that I really think is important, especially when we have to deal with people out there, they, a lot of times we don't want to go to the Lord. We don't want to, because we feel like we're going to be rejected by Him. And if we don't know Him personally, then how can we get there? How can we get to that place? And you know, it takes a lot of time, love and care, and the Lord has to be in it to do that. And I know that there's so much, there's so many things involved in all that, you know, like all that was been mentioned. I'm sorry. So anyway, one thing that crossed my mind is that, you know, the scriptures that say that the flesh profits nothing, it's the spirit that gives life. If a person is dealing with rejection, the biggest thing I think that would help would be that that the person recognizes that we are all no good for the Lord. As far as the old man, there's nothing we can change in the old man that's going to make it any difference. And if we can get that person in the spirit, to get them to recognize that we are all in the same boat. We all deal with these feelings and all these thoughts and you know, because I think when a person's dealing with rejection, they feel alone, they feel helpless, they feel like they can't even get to go to the Lord. You know, they feel condemned, and just there's so many things that could hinder their getting to the Lord, just coming to the Lord. And that's what I'm learning right now about dealing with other people, you know, like my granddaughter, you know, and it's just recognizing that it's only through Christ that we can overcome. It's not anything of ourselves, nothing we can do, except we need to recognize. And that's another thing, is we need to recognize it's the enemy and it's not us that's coming against us. Sometimes we think it's us, oh, it's us, you know. Yes and no, because the old man is the sin nature's there. But if we can put it aside and just realize that it's through Christ that we live, not through ourselves. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. That was good. Go ahead, David.
I had my hand up earlier, but my wife took the girls out for a walk because they were acting up, and my daughter fell off the swing, so I had to run. And I'm calling from the park right now, but I had my hand up because I wanted to get delivered from unforgiveness and from I've been battling with a lot of spirits and casting them down, and the worst one is doubt. And I've been battling with unforgiveness because at work I wasn't warned about the customer wanting his old parts back, and I threw them away. And they said that they're just going to take it out of my pay. And that, it was, it hit me really hard because they really need that money. But and I got really angry and frustrated at the moment. So dealing with frustration and anger. And I want to get delivered from it all. So if, I mean, if anything happens to where I could just love the people around me and forgive them, so I don't have to bear all that anger. Because, I mean, when I get frustrated and angry, I seem to distance myself from my family, and I don't want to put them through it for something that I should have forgiven. Just like Christ forgiven us, forgiven me for being a sinner from where he brought me out of. And I don't want to bear all that unforgiveness in me. And I want to get delivered from it all, because I mean, doubt will really bring you down if you let it. And I've let it bring me down a few times. Even just now, I ran to the park and I was like, am I even supposed to get delivered? Like, it seemed like a perfect moment for me to get delivered, because my kids and all went out and I was at home alone, and I was, and just doubt took over and I didn't know what to do. And I'm just tired of battling just tired of bringing my family down because of my doubt, my unforgiveness.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray. Let's get rid of that thing. You ready to get rid of it?
Amen.
Okay, brother. All right, Lord, you heard his confession, and we thank you for that, Father. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command doubt and unbelief to go from David. I command unforgiveness to go. I command hatred to go. I command condemnation to go from him. I command all spirits that have tormented him to go. Spirit of rejection, you go. Spirit of the fear of rejection, you go. Confusion, you go. Hatred, go. Anger, go. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that he is free. And he who is free indeed. And we praise you, Father, for David's continual walk to want to be you and to walk in your steps, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, I just ask and I pray that tonight that you just love on David and show him that you do love him. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Father, that your angels be around about him and his family to protect him from any harm. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you go place it in him to be a spiritual warrior for his family and himself. And we praise you for doing that for David and Alina and Adelina. And we just thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in his family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah, Judy.
Well, Father, I just would like to add on just a few things there. Father, thank you, Lord, for David and his transparency, his openness, his honesty. And he's not trying to hide anything. And we also take authority over those demons of bitterness and resentment towards his employer. And those spirits that would want to hold on to that anger about it, we command you to go from David in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd be able to give David the ability to really just see that it's not them, that it's just the spirits working in them and they can't help where they are. They're just doing what they know. They're trying to run a business. and we all make mistakes. So I pray, Father, that you lift David up. You're our glory and the lifter up of our heads. So lift up David's head, Lord, and help him get his eyes on Jesus and not on himself. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we all make mistakes, make mistakes at work. And I pray that spirit of self-bitterness and self-unforgiveness to go from David in the name of Jesus, because we can't be better than what we are. And Lord Jesus, only you can perfect us. So I pray that you help him just to see that it's already finished, Lord, and that you're doing an awesome work in our brother and our sister and his family, Lord. And you've already got him lifted up, and all that heaviness and oppression is gone from him. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Greg.
Actually, no, Marilyn had a hand up. I'd rather her go first anyway.
Oh, did she?
She did.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get in the way of Marilyn's prayers. I'm not that stupid.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, actually, I just had my arms up, and I was praising the Lord. But just one thing that I would say, because I had dealt with this nasty spirit of rejection my whole life, and recently, because of some things we had talked about amongst the sisters and prayed about here a couple of weeks ago, I realized that I had some symptoms, like I got my feelings hurt really easy. And I asked the Lord if I still had a spirit of rejection, and he told me yes, or if it had, you know, come back. So I cast it out and repented, and it was causing some problems in a relationship. It was opening a door for division and faction in a relationship. And so, you know, I've got the victory. But I would just say that also, you know, be on the lookout for legalism, perfectionism, and salvation by works. That those are traps that the enemy will really try to get you caught up in as well. And just, I pray for everybody here, Father, give us that spirit of wisdom and that spirit of revelation of the grace of Christ. Father, that it's all faith in your grace and faith in what Jesus did at the cross for us. That it really is like Isaac was saying and others have said, it's already all done. It's all by faith. There's no way we can earn it. There's no way we can ever be good enough. That was such a trap for me my whole life, wanting my dad's favor and feeling like I never had it. And then if you've got that, then you carry that into your relationship with the Father. And that has to just all be set aside and laid down, and it's covered with the blood of Jesus. And we've all been redeemed from all the power and the curse of sin and death. So praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us. You're a beautiful and a wonderful Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Greg.
Amen, too. Thank you, by the way. David, first of all, bless you for, you know, wanting to be free of unforgiveness. And that's really smart. Can I ask you a couple of questions, though? This one, I just want to clarify something.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, if I was to bring my car to your, you know, the place you work and ask them to change the spark plugs, and I assume I go to a reception or whatever else and register it, and it just so happens that my car fell to you to get this, to change the spark plugs, would you normally change the spark plugs, and you do a brilliant job, I'm sure, would you normally chuck the old spark plugs out?
I would, but...
Okay, that's fine. Now, if I went there and, you know, and took my car there and say, look, can you change the spark plugs and give me the old spark plugs back, and it fell to you to change the spark plugs, but from reception to you, that returning the spark plugs wasn't communicated to you, whose fault is that the spark plugs get chucked out?
If you told the... Well, let's say
reception, service. Yeah, whoever I register it with, yep.
Yeah, you tell them and they don't tell me, that would be their fault.
Right, Is that the case in this situation? Did they not tell you?
I wasn't told anything.
Right. So look, this sorry.
New or not, but I.
Okay. This is just the point I wanted to make, is that this situation is not your fault. It was, you know, from what you've told me, it wasn't communicated to you. It's someone else's fault. And it sounds like to me they don't have the right to go off at you. And yes, you know, we forgive them for doing so and docking your pay, etc. I don't know. I just want to give you a bit of license to be properly assertive in this situation, just to point out a few things, because it's, to my mind, it's not right that you get docked. Now, I also have the power, the authority to remit sins. And look, you know, what you've brought up and whatever that is regards to you, then yeah, I join with the body of Christ and I remit those sins. So let's consider that a prayer. And for those who are doing things to you that they should not do, then, you know, we don't hold that against them either. We actually put that against the account we owe Jesus. But please don't feel that you can't speak up about it in a respectful way. I don't know. And Lord, I just want to ask this too, that one, that that on David, that you would, well, you are with him. I don't have to ask you to be with him. You're there all the time. And that you would be his power and authority. Lord, you know, in all of us, we need to be respectful, and honor those who are over us, but not to the point where we're cowering and they can do what they like to us. They have an obligation both to their employee, I should say, to pay what they're due. So, Lord, I want to ask that you would restore to David what he is owed, and Lord, have him speak honorably, but truthfully as well, to these people. And Lord, I just want to add that you would bless him, bless his household, bless his wife, bless his children, even those yet to be born. Amen. Sorry to give you more children if you didn't want any, but
okay. Yes, Jim.
There we go. I just found it so interesting, Greg's response. Total confirmation. David, I heard you. I heard you so clearly, your heart so humbled. And in the natural, you do have a reason to think the way you do. And you know that we all have to get beyond our natural feelings. Your thoughts were so sincere. It just gripped me in such a way. And I want to add, or actually agree with Greg's prayer, that your employer's heart gets softened. And that, as Greg has mentioned, that you are truly blessed in any way the Lord sees fit. And I would hope in your case that you would see it financially as well. And I also sense that was a bit of condemnation against yourself as you were speaking, because as a human being, we're going to have these thoughts when we've known that we've been done wrong. And the hard part is we do have to release it to the Lord to get above it. We all go through it. You're not alone, David.
Amen. I think this is a moment, David, that God is showing you to turn the other cheek. He's killing the flesh in all of us. And how we react to these people that, like, everybody here talked about, they're full of demons. They don't understand this. All they're doing is they're just da 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 da. But everything happens for a reason. The Lord says he's got you in his hand. He's sovereign. He is so sovereign. And everything that happens around us is for a reason. This is a flesh killer. He's killing your flesh. And what I would do if I were you is do like Jesus said, Lord, don't hold it against them. And see what happens. Bless them, Lord. They don't even know what they're doing. How shall we die? That's right, Julie. Okay. All right. Lana, do you have something you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say a quick prayer for our brother as well. Father God, yeah. We come before you on behalf of and in support of David here, Father God. We thank you for doing this mighty work of deliverance in him and his household, Father God. Yes. I bind up these spirits of worry about the money that may or may not potentially be taken out of his paycheck, Father God. It is your money to begin with, Father God, and you give it as you please, Father God. So we are trusting that if you choose to lead David down the path where that money gets taken, that you will provide in its place, Father God, and they will not go in need, Father God. And if you choose to show your favor, Father God, toward David and his household and change his manager's heart, Father God, we praise you for that as well, Father God, because you are in control. So I bind up those spirits of anxiety, of worry, of financial stress, Father God, spirits mm-hmm. of fear, spirits of doubt and unbelief, Father God, in both David and Elena, that they will rejoice in this situation, that their flesh is going to be crucified, Father God, for the name of Jesus Christ in them, Father God, and that they will walk by faith for whatever the outcome is, Father God. And when the time is right and when you have, Father God, done your work in David, we praise you that you are going to turn around this workplace where you have sent him to. You've moved him from Missouri to Tennessee, Father God, and that he will hold favor with his bosses, that he will be a witness and a light, Father God, to everyone in his company, that he will walk in faith, that he will trample the spirits of doubt and unbelief, and they will have nothing on him, Father God, that he will be a man after your own heart, and he will be a man that stands on the word of the Lord, and nobody will doubt it, because David said so, so it must be of the Lord, Father God. We praise you for the mighty, mighty work you are doing in this man, that you are growing up in him, Father God, to be a true image of Christ to the world around us, Father God. We thank you for this, we praise you for this, and we bless our brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I believe it, and I'm thanking you for it, Father, that David and Elena don't have to worry about anything. They are in God's hands, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll just use that that prayer that Lana had to move us out of here. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let everybody get a good night's sleep tonight, because they're free. They're free. They're free. They're free. In Jesus' name, amen.